everybody, and welcome to Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. So, quick context. I've been trying to get Mike's attention for the last little bit here. I don't think he has any audio coming in. Yep, now he's tapping his ears. We're gonna get this figured out, ladies and gentlemen. We lost him. Okay, well, that's a fun way to start such a sad, depressing episode. This is gotta be, I think this is gonna go down as one of the all-time, just like, I haven't quite put a finger on it. Like, what is it, like, interesting? Is it just like outlier seasons for how do you even begin to describe what the hell just happened? Because it was absolute pure magic for two straight games. I'm really distracted by Mike coming in and off of the stream here, and then just gets taken away because Torts doesn't keep a tablet on the bench, has no idea that we scored, and maybe a minute here or a minute there in the production of this game, maybe Torts finds out that we are going to overtime and he doesn't pull the goalie. It's just, man, I don't know. It's heartbreaking, but it's also frustrating. And
can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Right. I figured this is going to be a
support group meeting.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be, we're leaning into the comments quite a bit today. We have zero slides to go over because it's all feelings today. And let me tell you, Mike, feelings were felt on Twitter today. I can't fucking stand Twitter. Oh my God, do I just want to delete the account? It put out a poll that was just like, what do you think was the driving force for no trades at the deadline? And I've got just, why are these the options? Why would you say this when Steve Yzerman had a press conference today? It's just,
the source of your frustration? Did people give some answers you didn't like, or?
No, it's just nobody could just answer the fucking poll today. You know, like, this is one of those days where everybody's gotta chime in and kind of rib every little thing that gets put out there.
We got some ribs coming in already with Gordo saying Perron deserves an extension. That's true. He did score last.
he who scores last gets paid best.
Yes. And for longest. Then Jared mentioning Matt hates Twitter, uses it for a poll. Ba-dum-choosh.
I'm just, that might be the last time I ever do a poll, because that was just like, I really got to explain how polls work to people. Like,
yeah, I just hope that, the consensus, at least for our fan base here, is I don't care about Tortorella. That's not his fault. He's trying to win in regulation. I don't think that, it's not like he was spitefully pulling the goalie to screw us. They bothered to ask him questions about that. And he was like, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to that. No, I don't know what's going on. I don't want to blame him. I do want to blame a little bit the referees of that Flyers game, because that was some horrendous officiating that. Should have been a 3-goal swing, +2 for Philly, -1 for Ovi, in my humble opinion. But again, those are nitpicks. Matt, the overarching issue was, this team wasn't good enough. So I, think that can tie in a little bit to your poll about, why was it a quiet trade deadline? I know that Steve loves his prospects. I know that they're his little buddies that he picked. These are my babies. I don't want to get rid of them. I would buckle up for more of the same. Because this year I know that, obviously we didn't make the playoffs. right? But we did get a relatively excellent couple of seasons from Sider and Lucas Raymond. And they, you know, were mostly unscathed as far as injuries go. You know, maybe that's just to offset, you know, how those long stretches we had without Larkin. But we had some good fortune this year, right? We had that long stretch where Alex Lyon was pretty good. We saw Sherratt turn into a serviceable NHL defenseman here towards the last, you know, 10th of the schedule. But yeah, I don't think we really had the ammunition. Obviously outside of that long losing streak, you know, when we had that, what, the last 2 weeks, all those games are basically playoff games. They're really tight. You know, every goal kind of came at a premium. And we came up short, you know, more often than we needed to in order to make it. So I guess my point is I don't want to blame, I don't really want to blame the referees in the Flyers game. I don't really want to blame the coaching decision by Tortorella. You know, this is what management for the Red Wings decided. This is enough to do what we think is an achievement for this team. And for them, if Lalonde is considered the mouthpiece, right, because they make him do those press conferences, and he said, hey, you guys should just be happy or even close, then management and the fan base have different goals. I thought year five of rebuild playoffs, their goal was to produce more points at the end of the season than they did last year. So I don't know if they're just going to hang their hat on, well, you know, maybe if Larkin doesn't get hurt at all. Yeah, but he gets hurt a little bit. That's kind of how he plays. You make him play every single situation. He wants to be out there. You know, he's even admitted, you know, I should probably train myself a little bit better to avoid some of the injuries that I've had. Those are his words. So I don't want to call him like, you know, NHL Zion Williamson, where it's like, this guy is awesome. He just isn't on the ice. But yeah, it seems like it kind of comes with the territory. I'm going to expect a little stretch where he's hurt. And it's because he gives so much effort and, you know, maybe he doesn't quite handle himself like he wants to. So yeah. As far as this being the support group, Matt, I'm a little nervous about what next year holds. I don't know how much of next year we want to really get into, but we have some contracts that are going to impede us from making moves that I think we would want to do. I'm looking at you, Justin Hall. I'm looking at you, Petrie, Sherratt, Fabry. I think Husso. So, you know, maybe Steve has some tricks up his sleeve, but I don't know if the next question you want to pose is, yeah. And Jared, I see your question there. How do you train for not taking a cross check to the back of the head? Yeah. I mean, again, I'm just literally pulling Larkin's words. I think he was just trying to have more awareness about who's on the ice and, you know, what that person's reputation is and kind of making sure you keep an eye on that person. I think that's probably what he's getting at. But yeah, I mean, you can't really, you know, defend a perfect cheap shot like that. I think he's just talking more about awareness because he himself would probably like to be available for all 82 games.
Yeah, I think a lot of this conversation today too, and probably a lot of the frustrations on Twitter, just because there's so many like far off in one direction or another, and people don't, they're not really happy with when it goes too far in one direction or another. But I honestly think right now, I think we are just in this middling spot. I think we need to say, like, for a team that was set up, and Yzerman said, I don't think this team's ready for a playoff run. And you could say he either said that by doing nothing at the trade deadline, he said it in his own press conferences, preseason, said it in as many words during the season. So it's one of those things where it's just like, okay, well, I guess we met expectations, right? And what do you do with that? Do you really go into work and, you know, like, do you get the raise, right? If you're, I got this called out today as well on social media, talking about like a review as an employee. But I'll take it a step further and just say, all right, well, the expectation was we weren't going to make the playoffs and we didn't. Cool. That's fun. That's fun for us. So I think me bringing that up has to be this tie between like the question that everybody seems to be getting hung up on right now is this a failure of a season or is it just disappointment? And I think right now, like, this is how we have to grade it. It's just like a work review. You have missed expectations. You know, there's complete failure. There's meeting expectations. There's exceeding expectations. And then at my work, we actually have Rockstar. If anybody gets that, it's just like the I think you should leave meme. It's just like, you're a rock star. And then you just keep typing. But I think right now it's just boring old met expectations. And we were so ready to get that exceeds expectations grade for this team. And we were excited by it. That's where the disappointment comes from. But it's not I'm going to say it's not a failure. And I think it's just wildly disappointing, but not a failure because you still met expectations. Meeting expectations is boring as all hell. And if you are somebody on social media who's just like, I knew it, I am not disappointed in last night, you're not a real human. By the way, like, we love tying emotions to the sport. That's why last night was so much fun. That's why Mike and I, we went to a bar and high-fived a bunch of people that we don't know and had a great time watching for 30 seconds after Perron scored and then were devastated by the Flyers giving up an empty net goal. But god damn, like, I wanted it to go a different way, but I'm going to say something nobody wants to hear right now, but Mike, I'm going to remember this for a very long time. We got some of that emotion. We got some memories, but I think it just comes and it's coming tied back to disappointment, but not a failure. That's my boring, we met expectations take. Meeting expectations sucks, you guys. Because you know what the expectation is for every single NHL franchise every year? You could have a team that's good enough to win the Stanley Cup. You know what the expectation is? You're not going to win it. There's 32 teams you're going up against. Am I wrong? No. You could think you have a good enough team to do it. Your expectation every year, statistically, is I'm not going to win the Stanley Cup. So when you meet expectations, no matter what team you are, it's a bummer. You need to exceed expectations to win the Stanley Cup.
Guys, I think Matt just got his work review very recently. This is very fresh in his mind, all the vernacular for it. Matt, I hope that you exceeded expectations and that, oh, you're a rock star.
I graded myself as a rock star. But I only got an exceeding expectations. I was told I didn't do enough to become a rock star. But that was back. That was back in December. So it's been a while.
Yeah, we got some comments coming in hot. My mine that I'm clinging to, Sneezy Wheezy. Sneezy, I haven't seen you in a minute. How you doing? He said,
Sneezy, go ahead.
Why is a non-playoff team 6 years into a rebuild? Why is that okay? When can we expect better? Year 7, 8, 9? Sneezy, I have the same questions. This is a question directed at the stands for the Iser plan, because You know, yeah, the cupboard was bare when you came in, but, you know, you also were able to use the cap to sign some pretty questionable contracts, which is also something that Jared mentions in his comment. So I know you got to fill out a roster. I know that everybody can't be Larkins and Canes, but, you know, we're going to be spending money on Hall for the foreseeable future. A guy who was a healthy scratch basically the entire season. And Yzerman, who are you bidding against on that one? So I just, you know, you're allowed to make mistakes, but those kind of mistakes, you know, you're so afraid of signing a star for, you know, $7, $8, $9 million, you know, and it's going to be a longer contract, but you're okay potentially not being able to afford, you know, a Patrick Kane bidding war because you needed Justin Hall on the blue line. So I don't know what kind of wizardry you can pull to trade a guy with, you know, rock bottom value. It's, you know, it's really tough.
One of my favorite takes that I read today was Steve Yzerman was unhappy with how Lalonde handled Hall and not playing him. And I was like, hey, you know what? Maybe if Lalonde does get fired for that, I guess at that point,
maybe this guy's all right. Yeah, maybe this guy's all right. Maybe he knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
But let's get a few more comments in there, too. Dan B. saying there were no star center free agents available. None. Yzerman made a couple bad signings. Those two things combined equal disappointment. Yeah, Dan, I agree. Because whenever we say, well, you should have done something, well, what something do you mean? You know, I don't know if Hurdle the Turtle, what kind of bids they could have put on him. And I know he's got boo-boos and it wouldn't have solved our problems immediately. But I kind of wish that we, you know, put a bid in out there. But, you know, Dan, looking at some of the free agents that are going to be available, does Elias Lindholm do anything for you? Does Steven Stamkos do anything for you, age 34?
Ooh, I mean,
I drop his name out there, and I say them because they can play center. But Stamkos, you know, even though I said his age, his last three seasons, Matt, age 31, 32, 33, the guy played 78 games, 81 games, 81 games. 106-point season, 84 points, 79, the lowest one this year, but it was also 40 goals. So, I mean, you also would not be asking him to be a top-line center. And also, if you want to get a little smoke there, Dan, Stamkos surprised that he wasn't offered an extension yet. So we know Steve likes to kind of shoehorn his way into those kind of discussions and say, hey, what if I give you 3 years at like 7? How do you feel about that? So, I mean, the Red Wings missed out on Stamkos that last time. Maybe they make it work this time. And then a couple other people got Derek saying, I don't think the season was a failure. Definitely disappointed, but they outplayed their talent on a lot of nights. Derek, I think that you're right. There are instances where they outplayed their talent. But, I mean, they also had that huge Sharks collapse. They also had those two games they lost against, you know, the Coyotes.
Oof, gosh.
And, I mean, if you're watching those other teams that we were jockeying with for playoff seeding, Washington, not that good. Pittsburgh, not that good. Islanders, not that good. Like, we should have beat those teams. So, no, I don't think we would have won the Stanley Cup if we made it. But I feel like we were still better than those, you know, other teams in that grouping. So I think that's where I would consider it a failure, that you weren't able to kind of leapfrog over them. And then Robert Cole does want to remind us, Robert, how you doing? Any of the past Wings teams had to kind of go through this, you know, this ascension, I think he is, you know, what he's alluding to. Yeah, that's not wrong either. This is going to be a tougher battle with the, you know, salary cap. And, you know, I don't think that we have any real superstars in the pipelines. And some of these contracts are going to handcuff us a little bit. You know, if you did want to get in on, let's try to retain Kane and get Stamkos, you know, or retain Kane and, God forbid, you know, look at, Reinhardt. I mean, that guy's probably going to be asking for, you know, 10 years, right. 10 million plus. So you're out on that one. So as far as improving the team, you know, you're going to be nickel and diming again because you got to re-sign your Siders and your Lucases. So
I would like to keep a mile long pole between the Red Wings and Reinhardt. I think this was an outlier season. I don't want to touch that. I did bring up for the YouTube viewers and for the podcast listeners, just I know there's these, I don't know, how do we want to put this? Just the notion that, you know, we met expectations this year. But I do want to caution pushing this too far into next season and really challenging Yzerman to make some changes here and make sure that we're not just, you know, well, Yzerman said this, so all hail the mighty Yzer plan, which I think for the most part, everybody in our chat, we have some pretty solid heads in there. Like I think I agree with most of you guys, and I think a lot of you guys would agree. It's not about firing Yzerman, but it is about challenging, like, what is the plan here? Because if we're talking about Steve and being super patient, well, I want to let you guys know that this number that I showed up with, the longest NHL playoff droughts of all time, not just current, that the Red Wings are listed as 7, but they're actually boop, boop, boop up here in the 8s because they're on year 8. Mike, they now have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tied for the 6th longest playoff drought of all time. So it wasn't a lot to say maybe we could hit the playoffs once or twice. So look, I get it. Like there's an idea here. I don't, you know, there's no evidence to say that we're going to challenge here for the top 5 spots, which of course, if we don't make it next year, if there's any regression, let's say we don't get an Alex Lyon, you know, January, February, and everything just goes kaput for the full season. Everybody's sub 900. You know, that could happen. But then you are in super danger of being tied for the 4th longest playoff drought of all time. So I get it. You know, we do need to be patient here, but I agree with you, Mike. Like, and I agree with Sneezy Weezy. Like, Sneezy put it out there. How many years do we wait on this? And it's right. I think the goal here, I think, is a fan base. And I think I've seen enough sane people. But if there's still you crazies out there who are like, no, I want to challenge for that top spot. I want to beat the Buffalo Sabres. We're going to be the most patient team of all time. All the power to you. Whatever.
I just wanted to throw in, Jim Johnson did say, do we trade Husso and get a more established starter? And Jared is right. I don't know who wants an injury-prone goalie who played 19 NHL games this season. And he's getting paid like $5 million. That's a lot of money for a, you know, what? Guy who's not playing.
We had this discussion in the Discord earlier. Like, Nedeljkovic is one of the things that helped Pittsburgh get back into the playoff race. Like, this is just, to me, feels like timing. Goaltending is voodoo. So it's just like, I don't know. Maybe we just got to stick with it and see what happens, right?
Yeah, sure. What do you mean stick with it? Like, stick with Husso?
I think you just go with the goaltenders you got. I mean,
think that revolving... you're stuck doing that because you're not going to be able to offload that contract for a guy who doesn't play.
Yeah, but this revolving door for your goaltenders, I don't know how much good that does. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'd like to just stand pat. You know, if we're getting through some of the shit, maybe like how I will make the argument goaltending is voodoo, maybe the next season it'll start to work out. But I will also just put out there, maybe it's not about goaltending being voodoo, but there's no guarantee when you pick up the guy who is the superstar that will continue. Like, that's the other side of the coin. So it's just kind of like, what do we do? You know? And I think it's more about upgrading the team around the goalie. I think it's about not being like in the bottom 10 teams for expected goals allowed. per 60, I think that helps your goaltending out so much more than bringing in another goaltender. Because that goaltender's also going to get peppered if things don't change personnel-wise. Player personnel-wise.
Kid Sweatshirt, by the way. Welcome aboard, saying, I say keep Lion. And Reimer for next year, then get rid of Reimer and replace him with Kosa. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to keep doing three goalies. I think it just kind of worked out that way. We might even get a few cameos from Kosa next season. Not, you know, he won't probably won't be there day one, but I guess just in the aftermath and, you know, a lot of us saying, hey, we exceeded expectations. It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to do that every year. And this team...
We met expectations, remember?
We're
not a playoff.
Well, no, because we thought that we were only going to get like 80-some points, and we got 90. Ooh, and we were only a point out of the playoffs.
That's true.
But I just – it's going to be hard. So, you know, next – this offseason, we're projected to have $28 million. Oh, we'll call it 29. If you're going to pay Sider like a top 10 to 15 defenseman, how much money is that? About $9 million? And do you think that Raymond is going to get about $9
million? Oh, man.
So I'm just saying, let's just ballpark it. Like, we'll call it.
That seems too high.
How about 17 for them combined?
Okay.
So that leaves you with $11 million to try and get in a Kane bidding war and improve the team. You know, Reimer's contract is up. He gone. Goss to spare. He gone. So, you know, he's not the greatest defenseman of all time, but the Red Wings did like to hang their hat on, man, look how many points we have from our defense. And this guy was a huge reason why. You know, you got Zarnik gone. You got Valeno, you got to re-sign. You got Christian Fisher, you got to re-sign. Sprong is probably gone. And, you know, yes, we can reallocate that David Perron money. But it's going to be tight, man. That's, you know, $11 million. So that doesn't mean you get Stamkos plus Kane plus pieces. That means it's a little tight unless you can find somebody willing to bite on an Andrew Kopp contract or willing to bite on Ville Husso at 4.7.
No, smash Cop's skull open, man. Put him on LTIR for the whole season like the Knights do. And then, you know, I heard earlier today that he's a playoff performer, so then he'll be ready for the playoffs. Problem solved.
Obviously, we, you know,
and I don't mean actually
make the team a little bit better. It's going to be hard to make them a little bit better when I don't even think you're going to be able to retain the players that you like right now.
But I will say this, the way the league is trending, we're supposed to see another huge cap jump. So I would ink Raymond and Sider for as long as you can. And I think this next season is going to be pretty similar. And you're going to have to fight to get into the playoffs. I think you're upgrading this team regardless with Simon Edvinson. I think you have an opportunity to upgrade this team with Marco Kasper. I think we could give that a shot. And there is... God, I hate this. There is the conversation where we do see one of these guys take a step up, and you also see Alex DeBrincat stop ringing him off the post. Eventually, that's got to turn around back in our favor for DeBrincat. So I think there's things that could turn our way.
So we're basically hinging on internal development, which is, that's a risky one.
That's for 1 year. It's not to say that's how we find success.
So I just mean what that means. It's another year, not the playoffs.
Yep.
So I hope you possibly guys are buckled in.
Possibly.
I hope you're buckled in.
You just need one more point. Can you get one more point next year? But no, I think the point is for this team to be successful long term, I think you've got to just lean into these Sider and Raymond contracts being as long as possible, because in a few years we won't even care about these numbers, and that's when that team can really get upgraded somewhere. it just sucks because I think right now we're so screwed with all these shitty contracts that our beloved, just amazing, blemish-free GM pulled in. That, yeah, now we're screwed for next season unless he makes some moves, which is possible. But I don't think we're going to win those trades. I think we're just going to move cap. So if that's even what he wants to do. Of course, today we're just like, no, we're still building through the draft, which of course we didn't pick up any draft picks at the trade deadline. But we're still building through the draft. So maybe we're just eating it. You know, maybe Andrew Kopp will get better the year older he gets. Same with Jeff Petrie. Yep. Just blemish-free GM. He's so good.
No, it's I guess every time I read, you know, it'll be fine. They'll get it next year. I hope people have looked at that cap sheet. It's going to be really difficult with the deals that Steve made. And I don't know who in the NHL would ever touch Justin Hall. That's $3.5 million down the toilet.
Yeah, Dan B brings up you can buy out, which I absolutely hope they take advantage of this. But also, man, now you gotta eat those contracts. Like,
so now it's gonna burn us for another 5 or 6 years. Like finished cleaning up our cap sheet with that kind of stuff. I think the last guy on there right now is. Oh, sorry, guys, we are still paying Justin Abdelkader for the next 2 seasons. Jakub Kyler comes Yamamoto. Off the books. And Red Wing legend Kyler Yamamoto still enjoying that sweet, sweet Detroit money.
Well, Verana's just retained salary from the trade, which that's fine. Which now we can retain more salaries, Mike, if we want to bring in more draft picks. Anyway. Oh, I mean, you know what? I heard that Utah is going to be spending. So they won't be that team where you can just dump dead contracts. So the NHL is going to need a new team to dump those dead contracts on. We could get a lot of draft picks. You see how many draft picks Arizona has or Utah has coming up?
I did not.
They have like 5 second-round picks.
Oh!
Woo! That's Steve's favorite round.
Big Debo, 72. I don't think I've ever heard from you. Big Debo, how you doing? With little Ren and Stimpy there. I like that.
Pretty cool.
You're
going
to have to
like
package
that.
Berggren with the Hall or Kopp in order to have a team. Eat that for us. A lot of bad contracts right now. Yeah. You're going to have to say, you know, we'll use the cap slot of Hall. Plus, we'll give you the prospect of Berggren. And then you give us an NHL-ready guy. You know, I don't hate that, but it doesn't sound like something Steve's interested in. I like it, but I'm just a humble podcaster, Big Debo.
Oh, Blake says, yep, just scroll by me. There we go.
I almost scrolled by him. Damn it, Blake, you called me up.
No, we got Blake. 643 right. Winning percentage with Larkin. Same as the Avs. All right, Blake coming in with the research. But that, right, this is a call for, like, we need more depth. Right, like you can't just rely on the one guy.
Our winning percentage without Larkin is zero, so it gets offset there. God forbid he misses 1 second of gameplay.
Right, and we've got there's got to be more depth in the top six. How long has that been like our conversation piece, Mike? Since the show started, it's just been over and over and over. We've just been saying more real depth in the top six is what this team is going to need, and that has never changed.
I think our dream was that we'd find a way to make Larkin the second center, because that would mean we're an elite NHL team.
Somebody brought that up on the Athletic podcast today. But I will say, I know where you're going with this. Can we just put the asterisk before you finish your thought? Like, Dylan Larkin is legit a number one center. Like, we see that this year.
He should get MVP votes.
Right. Okay. But continue your thought.
I don't think we're going to find a way to make Larkin a two center until it's the end of Larkin's career. But in the meantime, Matt, let's get that smoke going for Steven Stamkos reuniting with Yzerman.
I gotta say, I'm gonna feel a lot better about that second line if it's Stamkos throwing it around between. Man, could you imagine Stamkos, DeBrincat, and Kane? Like, it's gonna be slow on for two thirds of it, but that would be fun. Or Larkin, DeBrincat, Kane, and then have Stamkos throwing it over to Lucas Raymond, and then they can both just start firing these pucks in the back of the net. Like, Stamkos could still rip it, and then when you have, you know, freaking. I don't know. I guess Perron's got to be coming off the books, right? I just feel like he's turned into such an ambassador. Like, there's a good chance he's coming back, but for less.
On a wildly reduced salary, I hope.
Right, right.
Like, the veteran's minimum. And by the way, Big Debo saying they don't make him like Ren and Stimpy anymore. You know what they could do, Big Debo, is they could do Ren and Stimpy 97, just like how they've done so well with X-Men 97. A really good cartoon if you haven't watched that. Did we have another comment that I wanted to touch on? I am trying to avoid a Blake situation. Blake, I wasn't trying to avoid you, my bad. There was one more in here. I lost it, Matt. Dave Aikman. Haven't heard from you in a minute. How you doing, Dave? Said, sitting inside T-Mobile Arena watching that game, knowing the Caps won, I still felt the gut punch throughout the Vegas game. Time to end the drought, says Dave.
Ketzel, I think Kaner's gone. Perron will be getting 1.5 to shoulder the kids coming up to play on the fourth line. Hey, I like hearing Perron on the fourth line. I made the argument all season. Like, a team with Perron on the second in your top six is not a playoff team. And I hate that he had that wonderful sentiment on with the media. It was beautiful. You know, he's going to fight for Larkin, but also I still fully believe that playoff caliber team is not throwing David Perron out on the top six. So no. I hate that.
Yeah. Nothing personal. It's just, you want a, guy in his prime up there. And Sneezy, Matt, I need you to attest to this. I thought Stamkos per Sneezy had a semi-bad relationship with Yzerman over previous contract. Could be wrong. I thought that was part of the negotiating. Yes, Matt.
I think Sneezy's like hitting it on the head here. Like, I almost saw some of the Stamkos stuff as almost kind of jokey, because the same thing happened to Stamkos where he wanted to sign and Steve was like, whoa, let's see what we can do with the rest of this team. And then other guys were getting signed around him. So it's the same situation. I think Stamkos is just at this point, like, they always say like, it's just business. Don't take it personal. But if other guys are getting signed around you, and this is the second time that they're like, let's see if we can get a couple mil out of.
I feel like, I'd be pissed. He's got family down there, but yeah, I'd be kind of tired of that. Like, dude, what do I have to do? Like, I've led you to championships. Like, I just pepper the stat sheet with numbers. What the fuck do you guys want? It was my first F, and it was for Stamkos. So. Derek Hand made me laugh. This might be comment of the show. We could find a third line center and pay him $5 million a season. I heard that works. And Ketzel, this is what Matt and I have just trumpeted for years. It's not that we don't have good players, it's that we just need to get at them in the right roles. And moving, as Ketzel says, JT to the third center, if we could get a real second center. My God, could you imagine if we actually had Stamkos at that second line? That'd be pretty cool. Red Wings fan club saying, hey, Ketzel with a ambitious request to find a trade partner for Hall, Fabry, and Ghost. My goodness. I think the only one you could move is Ghost. I don't think anyone wants those other two guys. Red Wings fan club. Insider knowledge here. Hot off the presses saying Kane's going to stay. I don't know if you saw his face after that shootout goal. He looked like he's done. He looks like he doesn't want to do this again next year.
Greg Wyshynski reported that Kane is really happy in Detroit, and he didn't report that he's staying. He's reporting that he's guessing he's staying based on some of the feelings that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he likes being a dude who, everybody kind of looks up to him.
Yeah.
I think the city really embraced him. Going to Little Caesars Arena, there was tons of Kane jerseys. Like, people love this dude. You know, he's American Pavel, I think, for a lot of people. Oh, we got a new name out there, Matt. Richard Perkins saying, I think every year Stevie brings in lots of contracts, see who works with the current lineup, then try to replace the junk. The longer we go, the less extra cash we have to play with. Yeah, definitely feels like that's Steve's philosophy, right? As far as he keeps doing these short-term deals so that there's no real, for him, long-term risk, like if a contract doesn't work, except that it doesn't feel like anyone learned any Stephen Weiss lessons, and we still have, you know, a cop and a comp for 5 years. So not that historically bad, but, you know, it's just frustrating that those two guys aren't quite living up to the number that we're paying them. What's up, Timmy? Thinks that Kane is staying. Oh, Ketzel saying PK3 is besties with the Brink Kitten. That's cute.
That is adorable.
Ketzel, the other one that I liked that you just dropped was, I see Fish getting a cheap extension. I was talking to some other hockey buddies too, and I feel like that is the contract I feel most confident of Steve, like, calling, offering the extension, and it being signed. And I don't think, you know, an understandable inflation raise, I think everybody here would be okay with Christian Fisher being a Red Wing again. He was fine on his role, fourth line.
Yeah, I know, like, I know there's going to be those conversations. It's fine. Like, we do need to fill out a roster, but I'm just like, I don't know.
Oh, you're done with Fisher?
I feel like we could fill out this lineup with our own guys. Like, I get it. Like, I don't even think that's a terrible signing, but I'm just kind of like, okay. Won't make a huge difference in the standings. He does do quite a bit of, like, fun odd man rushes and gets his breakaways because he's good at he's got great positioning. He could sniff out the play. I just, you know, it's not like the finish is there for him.
He's a good defensive forward, I think. And we don't seem to have a ton of those. And Jim Johnson, I think this has been, for not funniest comment, but maybe the most interesting comment of the episode, saying, I'm wondering about Wallman's future. And Jim, I think that's a really interesting point, because all of us are guilty of, well, let's find a way to trade Hall. Like, dude has no value right now. You have to play him and show that he has something to get some value. But yeah, Wallman, he's shown some glimpses, right? So as far as, like, moving money around, that's a much more likely trade than Justin Hall or Fabry or Petrie. Matt, what do you think about that?
It makes sense. I guess you'd like to think, like, maybe the injury is something that Wallman, like, just could not get over, and that's why there were struggles this season. So that becomes a selling point in these trade talks, where it's like, look at what he's been able to do in the past, though. And it really felt with that trade, like, we found something special in Wallman. Like, we were pushing so hard last year to make sure there was this extension. So you make a lot of sense. Like, if somebody's going to have some value attached to them in a trade, it would more likely be Wallman. But I'm also like, then I'm asking the question, like, what are we getting back? Like, it's not like you could sell this guy as the top pair defenseman. I think for a while it looked really good when Seider and Wallman were together, but I don't think that's how you're selling it. So you're like, I need a top six forward because I'm giving you a top pairing defenseman, right? So it's just kind of like I turn around and go, oh, really? How much is he getting paid again? Like, that's your top pair defenseman. You must really value him quite a bit. You know, joking aside, I think I'd lean in the direction that I would rather make that trade in the season and see what's going on with Wallman next year, because I do kind of feel like, you know, let's see what's going on. Let's get through some of the troubles that seem to plague his season this year and just hit the reset button. Before we move him.
Our Ketzel and Jared just thrown out there that there are limits on who you could trade Wallman to, modified no trade clause.
Well, that's great.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just that it's a guy with some value.
You know who doesn't have a no trade clause or a no movement clause?
Who that?
Clayton Keller. I'd go ringing that bell again. You don't want to waste your time in Utah. It's not really an upgrade. There's only 11,000 seats in that new arena. It's not a real arena. Bring yourself on over to a real team. Come on, Keller. But of course, you know, Utah's going to have to agree to that. But I think, you know, they could really use Andrew Kopp. You know, they need some grit. You know, Andrew Kopp, he's one of the best forwards I think the Red Wings have ever had. If I were Utah, I don't know, I'd even consider one for one. Jeez, oh, Pete. No, but that, I obviously, resting aside, but...
You sound like the old beat writer for the Detroit News when he would beef up the Tigers farm system. Whoa, what's some arms down there, Toledo? And then we'd be trading them as soon as we could, every deadline.
I mean, I feel like I'm just running out of breath right now because it's almost exhausting to keep talking about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a long day. It's been a lot of tweets that I wish I had just stayed off Twitter today. It's been a lot of articles read. I listened to a lot of podcasts today. None of them really made me feel better.
You know what I couldn't listen to was last night after the Wings game. And Paul Woods was, you know, Red Wing fans, you got a lot to be excited about. You got Lucas Raymond back there. You got Mo Sider. He's probably a top 15 defenseman. And then Ken Cal pipes in. You know, it's going to be a pretty fun ride home in the airplane here as the Red Wings take this last game. I'm like, Ken, read the room, bro. Everybody's devastated. We're not ready for your positivity right now. Like. Now we got to sit here for a whole offseason. So, you know, I know he's, you know, he gets his check signed. It says Ilitch Holdings on it. So I can't really blame him for, you know, trying to shed some positivity on the season. But I wasn't ready for it, damn it. And I had to turn the radio off and listen to some chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water by Limp Bizkit. So
really
to get through the day. Yeah, it was That's very so therapeutic. Funny.
That was the new episode of Anthony Jeselnik's podcast. That was the title of the episode this week. That's so funny.
Oh, we got Jim Johnson, who I think he won comment of the episode here, just bringing in a real guy with trade value. Got a question for the Matt and Mike. I like that it's the Matt. What would be the Wings' major focus be besides signing Sider and Raymond?
I would like to.
Are we going to swing again at a second line center? But priority one is probably cleaning up the cap sheet. So you can actually make these, moves to improve the roster.
I hate to say like that's the top priority, but obviously that makes sense. I mean, I'd like to hope, and this has been my stance for a while. I think a lot of your problems get solved. Like it to me, I sort of visualize it a little bit different from. Like if I was in the NFL and I'm building a team, I'm building from the trenches out. But I want to hold on to the puck. I want to possess it. So I need guys in my top six that hold on the puck and just absolutely devastate the opponent and wear them out. And guys that are on my second line, like we've mentioned before, are now on my third line. I need more top six forwards. I think that solves so many problems. And I think we're really... I think the call to action of just focusing on defensemen will surely it can be upgraded. I think that helps a lot with transition, but I still see so many issues with getting the puck in the zone, and that's going to start with your top six forwards, and that's a skill, right? Like that's where we're looking for guys that can get in and carry the puck and not just dump it and lose the puck, and there was your offensive attempt at possession. I'm going to hammer this through the rest of the season. If we really are looking to upgrade this team, it's more top six talent. It's top six talent that can carry the puck into the zone and help us hold on to the puck, limit the expected goals, goals against per 60, limit the shots against, and that's going to solve all of our issues with Moritz Seider getting hit by the puck 200 times, our goaltending just looking like Swiss cheese, where damn it all to hell, you just like think about like that Simon Evanson goal where he's just trying to whip the puck up the ice, and it just takes a bad bounce and Canadians score, right?
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys can recall that off the top of your head. Look, I don't that obviously that's a freak bounce, but the reason that does happen is because you're not spending more time in your own in the offensive zone. And I'm not saying like that extra minute would have done that. I'm just saying over the course of the season, those goals are more likely to happen to you because you're spending so much time in the defensive zone getting the puck out. Wasn't a mistake on Edvinson's part. It's pure chance. And it's more likely to happen to your team who can't get out of the defensive zone, who can't sustain pressure in the offensive zone, than it is to Carolina Hurricanes, Florida Panthers, New York Rangers. Problem solved.
So I'm going to say that my home run offseason, you find a way to retain Kane. You bring in an unsexy defensive defenseman or two. And you find a way to get Stamkos. Because if you have a second line center, which he would be, he'd be an excellent pickup, even at his age. This team would be really exciting. And I would probably be inclined to actually open those emails from the Detroit Red Wings and put money down on like a mini season ticket package.
Ooh.
You heard it here first, NHL Detroit Red Wings marketing team. Retain the Kane. Give me a Stamkos, an unsexy defensive defenseman. I'm good.
Ketzel throws out there, the board play has been brutal. Great point there. Dan B, have any of you guys watched Nathan McKinnon play? We need top end talent like that.
Dan. You've heard me. I was the one who was on the Kane train, before the season started. Matt kind of laughed at me and I was like, it does make a difference to have one super duper elite megastar.
I do like Derek was teasing, though. Good point, Dan. I wonder why Steve hasn't thought of that yet.
I would just say the way that Lucas kind of evolved in these, basically playoff games the last couple weeks, I don't think he's that far away from being one of those special guys. He kind of did have some flashes where I was like, damn, he kind of looks like Kucherov in a Red Wing jersey. So give me a center. Give me a Kaner. Give me a sexy D. An unsexy D, sorry.
Did Crimson Shadow just reveal himself to be Butt Chug?
No, he was just saying Chug. He didn't give away. It's Kate. No, he would never do that. He's like the Undertaker. He's always going to keep his identity to the grave. To the grave, Crimson Shadow. Delete that comment.
Delete it. Oh, no. Crimson throws out there, the team's probably going to look massively different with all these contracts. Different. I'll say this. If you're right, Crimson, if you told me, so let's pivot because Crimson just told me that. Crimson, if you're correct, I'm very excited about next season. Very different excites me. I think it's going to be very same, and I'm worried about that.
Very different will be very difficult to do.
Do we worry about this? Two players hit 100 assists this season.
What we do also you have mean a, by worry?
Let me explain. We also have, we have a 70 goal scorer. We have 50 goal scorers that we were just like, where the fuck did this come from? None of our guys are near this at all.
I'm not really worried about it.
No?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying, we did see some increases in production this year, but like compared to the rest of the league, we didn't. It's just like, when you're getting your raise at work, you get your raise and then you look at how much inflation has increased and you're like, oh, wait, I didn't. But inflation went up to the, I still can't afford eggs with this raise. It's 10 cent raise and eggs are went up $2. How is this equivalent? So it's like the rest of the NHL was like, yeah, we cannot stop scoring. And then we were just like, our guys, they look pretty good for like 10 years ago. So, you know, so no, I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm just putting it out there. It's like, did inflation increase and the Red Wings didn't keep up?
No, I think it was just kind of how people were deployed.
Also, I mean, we were still, you know, did great.
It's like, you know, Ovechkin going, man, what an asset on the power play. It's like, yeah, the dude only plays 10 minutes a game and all of it is on the power play. Of course he's got power play points. He plays on both power play units. He's on the first unit and the second unit. So, you know, it's just kind of how people are deployed. And we, like for Larkin, I know he is, you know, not McJesus. I get it. But he is also asked to do a lot defensively as our best offensive player and best defensive player. So I don't think he's allowed to even think about getting 100 assists because he's got to play very difficult defensive matchups. So I'm okay with it, man. I'm not worried.
Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. No worry.
Everything's great.
Yep, everything's great. I did want to look up. I was in Evolving Hockey. I was going to pull up Dylan. Maybe we could. I know this is silly, but just to compare him to. So like Larkin's two-way versus McDavid's, and McDavid actually is getting better defensively. He's improved. So I'm gonna show this, but I also want to remind everyone the difference in how much we pay for one and the other team pays for the other. And
before you do that too, somebody was saying how Kucherov has like double the points of our top guy. Yeah, but was it Cooch? I thought it was Cooch.
It probably is.
Yeah, Cooch, twice as many points as our top guy. Yeah, Cooch is awesome. But I would also steer you towards Cooch's historic stats at age 22 with numbers that are eerily similar to Lucas Raymond's. He had 66 points in 77 games. 23 is when he really broke out and like over a point a game. And then he exploded in age 24 and 25. So hopefully the best is yet to come for Lucas.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to give Lucas 8 years. We were messing around before earlier in the season, and we were talking about those four-year contracts. Do whatever you can do to get 8 years out of Lucas. I just want to pull this. This ain't bad. Think about how much you spend on Dylan Larkin versus Connor McDavid. This is Mike. I like you. I think I prefer. Definitely at the, like looking at this. Just right now, like it's not like we talked about making this part of the show. This is just eyeballing the Evolving Hockey for podcast listeners. We're looking at the Rapham charts. So this is a comparison of like goals 4/60, expected goals 4/60, Corsi 4/60. For Larkin and McDavid, this actually lines up. It's just that Larkin is taking a little bit more from the attempts on net, taking those off the board than McDavid's given up. And there's also more chances Larkin's thrown at the net than McDavid gets out there. It's just that the quality of chance is a little bit higher on McDavid's side, which probably results in the higher goals 4/60. So, hey, did you lose your connection? Oh, there's no sound.
No.
There you are. There you are. I got all you.
Right, cool. Yeah. Thank you, Xfinity. Yeah, I'm back.
I don't know. I just
point about correlating the salary with the output, and Larkin is right up there at 8.7.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I actually pretty happy with this. I feel really good.
Yeah, you'd hate him because he's not the greatest current player of the generation. That's completely unfair.
I just gotta say, like, that actually is so much rosier. What we just looked at than I would have guessed. I think it's a beautiful looking chart in favor of Detroit, who's, you know,
Oh, Jim Johnson. You know what? You're the MVP of this episode. First, you bring up a trade candidate that I like a lot. Then you bring in my boy, Sandin, playing in North America next year. Oh, you dirty dog, you. Woo! Yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen, but maybe. But probably not for the Red Wings.
He did win the Bjorg Salming Award.
The Bjorg-Svensson Award? Or the Sven Bjorgson Award?
The Sven Bjorg Award for best chef in Sweden. I forget if there's like an age limit on that thing. Don't look up who else has won that award, because those names will not excite you in any way, shape, or form. But I think it's never bad news when one of your prospects wins an award. So, and we've seen our boy just killing it. So I think that's a good, like, cross your fingers. It'd be really nice to see something, you know, us get lucky there. Kind of like with Lucas Raymond, where we didn't think we were going to get Lucas in his first year playing. And he just killed it. So let's get him over here. I like just saying, like, he will be in North America. And then hopefully things play out in our favor in September and leading to a fun October. Okay, we need to go. I already said like 20 minutes ago how exhausting this is to talk about.
Well, I'm glad you guys came to the support group meeting. This was a rough 24 hours here.
Next week, I don't know. Do we want to do reviews? Does anybody want to see the pizza reviews? Mike, you were a little hesitant to commit. Or should we just start jumping into drafting Cole Yzerman? And... Ooh. How silly I think it is that he's about to be, he could be, or no, I guess it's over. So he's like the number two all-time U.S. goal scorer, like above Patrick Kane. And people are like,
he's going to be gone.
It looks like we could get him right now because the concern is his attitude, which it's like, then bring him to our team because his GM is going to be Steve Yzerman.
Yeah, his dad.
Right, his dad is the GM.
But yeah. Yeah, let's ride off into the sunset, and we'll figure out a plan if we're going to do off-season or... I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Oh, God, that sounded so depressing. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Derek Hand said, great season, guys. You both exceed expectations. We were shooting for... rocketing expectations, but we will settle for exceeding expectations.
I was gonna say rock star, but thanks, Derek. I appreciate
it. Rock star.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. I appreciate everybody coming aboard.